Okay, in flesh and blood. All right. You've seen me virtually. You've heard my voice. Let me see how many of you attended the week, the evening meetings that we used to have during the week. I won't ask you questions, I promise. So you just be confident. You know you're representing your future generations here. Yeah. Thank you. Hey, Bana, no. Wait. Ish. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please come back. Just come. I'm so sorry. I shocked you. Don't worry. Don't worry. I wasn't paying attention, so it felt a bit intruding. That's why. Please forgive me. Is that okay? All right. Thank you. And you are? Oyaro. And you are? You are? Sam Chris. Oh, Sawa. Sawa. It will be okay. Don't worry. I was just absent-minded. And now we're going to pick it. Just give it a moment. She'll pick. So let's do this. Thank you. Don't worry, guys. I love tech, so this is nice. Say that again. Oh, tech. Oh, I see. Yeah. All right. So, okay, let me bring myself back here. So, I didn't come alone. Besides walking with the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord and the holy angels and heaven, I came along with a great team that I work with when I'm not doing this. And they also are my friends. They are people I like hanging out with. And I thank God that they chose to come and fellowship with me today. Like if I mess up, I'll be banned somewhere. So I am representing a huge clan, so I can't dare fail them. So I'm just going to invite them to please rise. Cyril, please rise. All of you, please rise. Then guys, behold the great team. So the guy right here at the front is Emmanuel. Please say hi. Thank you. Then that's Samuel. Please say hi. Then Cyril. Please say hi. Then you have Joshua. We have Peter Kerr. We have Naomi. And then we have Lele Kerr. And Baby Kerr. And the Care family came with two other guests. Please just rise and say hi. Yeah, thank you. So we serve together at the Dawn of Faith TV. If you don't know what that is, it's a Christian Adventist. It's a faith-based online television where we share devotionals, we share songs. It's your home of inspirational music and uplifting messages. Yeah, so if you haven't checked it out, you can get it on YouTube and you can follow us on Instagram as well. Please sit down. Thank you. Okay, so for those who don't know me, I am Faith Christian Gore. I serve as a counseling psychologist, still in training, and I'm also a mental health coach. And for the week, this week, we have been focusing on health, particularly mental health, and we have been seeing how sometimes we make our brains sick and how to take care of our brains, right? So today, our focus will be on your pain matters to God, right? Because the theme I was given this week was, it matters. Hallelujah. Amen. And I come from a family of five brothers. They're all older than me. And I am the youngest, as you can see. And I'm also an aunt to, there are actually nine, by the way. I have nine nieces and six nephews, whom I love very much. They are the inspiration and motivation behind what I do, becoming a better Christian every day, so that I can be a great example to them. Amen? Amen. So, how many of you have experienced pain in life? You're experiencing pain currently. Hidden pain, physical pain. All right. Thank you for being sincere and honoring us with your vulnerability. So today, we're going to focus on, so what I'm going to present is on, I know we talked about depression slightly during the week, but today we're going to focus on depression, suicide, and salvation. Okay? Okay. So why do we talk about suicide? Why do we talk about depression? Because these are things that either are going to affect you, are currently affecting you, or you know someone who's been affected actively, right? We either know someone who's living with depression, we either know someone who knows someone who died by suicide, and we know someone who's questioning God amidst all this, right? So we're going to see, does it really matter? Yes, it does. So you see, according to the Kenya National Commission of Human Rights, there's an estimate that 25% to 40% of outpatients and inpatients suffer from mental health conditions. So you see, sometimes, now if the doctor doesn't read wide or the doctor is not really interested in the mind, some of these things will go unnoticed or won't be assessed, okay? So you'll find that, so when you're sick in the, when your brain is not well, it affects every part of your body. It can sometimes manifest as physical illness. So in psychology, even in medicine, it is called psychosomatic conditions. What that means is it's of the mind, psycho, it's of the mind, right? So it's pain that is suppressed in the mind, and therefore it goes ahead to suppress your immune system. Okay? So your emotional system and your immune system are, they work together like this. So when pain is not, is left unaddressed, then it goes ahead to tamper with your immune system. So why talk about this? It's because there's a rise of mental health problem in our country. Do you guys agree? And it actually got worse. So there was a really, there was a heavy increase in 2019. That's like the record that exists. But during COVID and after COVID, that has shot really, really high. And sometimes it's also because of how we cope. You know, you have pain, but then the immediate thing that suits you is probably marijuana or cocaine or alcohol or social media or overworking, you know? And that doesn't solve the issue. It makes it worse to a point where you get to a wall and now it seems as though I just want out, like literally out of this life, okay? So the reason why we talk about this, especially in church, it's because it affects us here. And there are people in the Bible who also affected mentally, right? So what is depression? And before I continue, I'm going to pray.
So baby Lele needs a break.
Okay, let's pray. Dear God in heaven, we thank you so much for gathering us here. Lord, as we're going to talk about the things that challenge us, part of the things that you said we are going to face, the tribulations we're going to face in John 16:33, I pray that, Lord, you will open our ears to hear what we need to hear. And I pray that we won't have any distraction. Please guide my thoughts to the end. Make the message simple, practical, and applicable in our lives. For this I pray, trusting and believing in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is depression? Who remembers what is depression? Okay, speedy. Who remembers? Yes, Cynthia. You know I know you. You don't remember, or Sawa. Do you guys remember by the things we learned during the week? Do you remember? Okay, I won't point to you. I've closed my eyes. Do you remember? Yes. You do? Yes. Okay, no problem. So depression, it's more than feeling sad or a bad feeling or a sense of heaviness. So if I were to describe it physically, you know, there are people who have never probably experienced it, or maybe you've experienced it but you've brushed it away. So you can imagine like a heavy blanket, heavy, dark, cold blanket made of steel covering you, and you're stuffed in there, you're suffocating, and you can't kick it off, and you can't lift it. Yeah, that's what living with depression feels. So every day, that's how it feels. So every morning, that's how it feels. And these symptoms are usually worse in the morning, because in the morning when you wake up, your stress hormone, the cortisol, is usually high in the morning. Why? Because it's meant to prepare you to face the challenges of the day. But now for somebody who's living with depression, it's extra heavy. Like the day now feels like, my life is just, I just want out. And it's a sense, you can't get it out. And when they're able to get out of that blanket, now it's a heavy chest just lying on your chest, something heavy and cold, and you can't breathe. So that's how it feels. That's how people living with depression feel. That's why sometimes you may wonder, sometimes people unknowingly may give them insensitive comments such as, but you're negative all the time, because that's all they see. They don't have the privilege of seeing the sun shine or the sunlight in their lives. Yeah, so that's how crazy it is. So it affects how you think, it affects your feelings and how you behave. There's a sense of hopelessness that comes with it. There's a deep sense of emptiness. There's constant fatigue. It manifests physically. Why? Because every thought you think or every emotion you feel usually shows up in your body. That's why when you're happy, you can dance. Or you can, when you're happy to see someone, you go and hug them. Yeah. And when you're scared, you shiver and shake and sweat or pee on yourself, you know. Then there's a lost sense of meaning in life, lost interest in things that someone enjoyed. They either struggle to eat too much or too little. And a lot of times, people who live with depression mask it. So sometimes, it's usually called functional depression. Someone can show up to a big conference and they'll give a great speech. They can even be an MC. They can crack jokes. But the moment they leave there, yeah, they hope that someone would see them, but then because they've masked it, nobody can believe that they're not well. And sometimes it's also because we don't have these conversations, you know. So there's some sense of stigma still around, or someone will tell you, mwanaume unakuaje na depression, we mwanaume unakuaje na mental illness, mwanaume ni kujikaza, you know, right? Yeah, wrong. It's wrong. It's not okay, right? Anybody can get sick. And everybody should be given permission to be human, right? And be given the right care and support. So what causes it? So depression can run in families. So that means if you have a close relative who lives or lived with a mental illness, then you're likely to experience it as well. And then if you have unprocessed trauma, if you've experienced abuse, probably in childhood, you witnessed someone being abused in childhood, you have experienced a significant loss. It could be work. It could be you didn't get the grade you were expecting, heartbreak. It could be death of a loved one can easily lead you to, it increases the risk of depression. Then if you're living with a medical condition, let's say a chronic illness, that can really make you sad because I forget the actual quotation where Ellen White says that the mind sympathizes with the body when you're sick, and therefore there's a sense of discouragement. So when your body is sick, it can also make your mind sick sometimes. So conditions such as diabetes, it affects the hormonal system. Cancer, heart disease, gynecological conditions can contribute to depression. And also, some medication can also have side effects that would lead to depression. And then environmental causes, let's say if you have ongoing stress, if you're living with someone who's just stressing you, if you're working in a stressful environment, if your friendships don't water you, if you have economic problems, you know, like financial struggles and other life challenges that you could be facing could lead to depression. Then substance use and abuse, the use of alcohol or any drug can lead to depression or even make it worse. Then there are hormonal changes. Now, how many of you are 23 and below? 23 years and below? Great. 24 and below? Okay, 25 and below? Oh, great. Thank you. So the age that you're in, your brain is still, so your brain gets to maturity physically at 25, beginning at 25, right? Then from 25 to 30, it continues developing. That's when your frontal lobe comes online at, like, in a mature way at 25. That's why you'll notice, I'm sorry, I'm not targeting anyone. You'll notice at between 25 to 28, 27, 28, you'll notice someone will start questioning a relationship they're in. You know, you start getting messages of, it's not you, it's me, you know, I want to find myself, you know. They are sincere. Their brain just came to life and they realized, wait, what are these? Whose life is this? Who chose you? It wasn't me. I didn't actually want you. I don't even know myself. That's when you'll notice you start having squabbles with your family, with your siblings. You know, even your the conflicts that you have with your siblings are those ones of, I mean, grow up. Nini nizi unadu, you know. So now you no longer are a child. You have now grown. So before 25, you're up in between. You're not a child and you're not an adult. You're transitioning, right? And so as that happens, it can affect you because there are so many changes that are happening in you. You see, ideally, the emotions that I as an adult would experience in a whole week, someone in the adolescent age would can experience that in a day. You see emotions like together that I can experience in a whole week. You guys experience it in a day. Can experience it in a day. That's why there's usually a sense of moodiness. Like one time you're happy, the next time you've snapped and guys are like, kwani tumefanya nini? Tumemkosea. People are walking around you on eggshells. It's not your fault. It's the brain trying to make sense of what's happening. It's the brain trying to remain alive. So this is to tell you, be gentle on yourself. Don't pathologize your situation remember that you are growing. You are living or using a growing brain. Okay? All right. And even childbirth can cause depression, not just to women, but also men. There are times, like first fathers, sometimes they don't have the preparation, or they have the head knowledge preparation, but the heart wasn't ready for these changes that happen. You know, like living with a mother who has postpartum depression, how do I deal with her? So the man just realizes that, wait, this is not the chick I used to vibe with. This is a totally different woman. And that can, if someone doesn't get the right support, they can risk getting depression. So if depression is not treated, if depression is not treated, it can lead to fatal self-harm. It can lead to fatal self-harm. And how do we prevent that? One, by acknowledging that, okay, here's the reality, I am not okay. So I'm not going to strive a life that I cannot afford based on my health status. And then affirm that you can find help. Or if somebody shares with you, affirm them that they can find help. Know that you can find help. Okay? And accept that it's human to struggle. And there's no shame in that. So don't shame yourself. It's not like you did something wrong or now you are weak. No, no, no. Also, don't compare your healing journey to somebody else's. You remember, there are people that Jesus healed instantly. There are those that he told, go wash your eyes. There are those that he healed, I think, twice. The one who was healed and he saw trees. And then afterwards, now he gained clarity. And then there are those that, you know, take a longer time because only God knows. We don't know why. We don't know. And we can't start cooking reasons, okay? Yeah. So sometimes it's normal for us to have intrusive thoughts. So that means you don't have to believe every thought you have. Not every thought is a fact. Even if it's a fact, not every thought is truth. The fact could be someone has broken up with you and it broke your heart. But does it mean that you're a broken person now that this person broke up with you? No, that's not truth. Yeah. So not every thought is a fact. Even if it's a fact, not every factual thought is true. Sawa sawa. Yeah. And you struggling doesn't lower your value in any way. And we can separate our struggles from ourselves. So what that means is you don't call yourself depressed. You say, I'm experiencing depressive symptoms, or I live with depression. That way, it gives you control over whatever it is that you're struggling with. Sawa sawa. If you battle suicidality, you don't say, I am suicidal. You're not suicidal. You're experiencing suicidal thoughts. Okay? Yeah, so that doesn't mean that's who you are. Because when we say that, then it means that we are a victim. And that makes you helpless. Now, let's look at servant of God in the Bible. This was, may I believe this was one God's favorite. Like God took him. Oops. Okay, things are falling apart. God took him to go spend more time with him. Imagine. And this guy was suicidal. Yeah. So go with me to the book of 1 Kings. So the story, I'll just be narrating the story, but let me give you the reference so that you go read for yourself. Eh? You don't believe everything I say. Go back and research for yourself. So 1 Kings, the story begins from, the idea builds from 1 Kings chapter 17. It goes through 18. 19 is my focus for today. So let's pray. Father Lord, even as we go into your study, please guide me. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So Elijah had just come from experiencing great miracles. First, he comes, prophesies that there'll be drought. For how many years? Yes. And then God showed up for him. God fed him. God took care of him like he had water when all this was happening. And when the brook dried, he had a family that took him in, right? And then in that home, God supplied for his need and the family's need. And then after that, he comes back to King Ahab. And God shows how mighty he is through this prophet, this great prophet. And he's able to pray. I'm just imagining. He prayed the first time, prayed the second time. Hey, me fit me, I'll just be like, wow, God, hey, about to see embarrass. Because you have gone there and you have said, this day we're going to see whether Baal is God or the God of Israel is God. And then a miracle happens and then he slays all these men. Such a powerful man. And then the last miracle, he ran ahead of Ahab. Ahab was riding on a horse, but he ran ahead of him. Like the spirit of the Lord came and he ran fast. Then what happened? I don't know what he was expecting. I honestly don't know. Perhaps he was expecting that Ahab and his entire family were going to be converted. But anyway, so Ahab gets to the house and he goes ahead to tell his wife, Queen Jezebel, that God had answered Elijah's prayer and sent fire and then rain. And he also reported that the prophets of Baal had been executed. And Queen Jezebel, who worshipped the false idol Baal, was furious. Then she told a messenger to go and tell Elijah and say, may the gods deal with me severely if by this time tomorrow I do not kill you like one of the prophets of Baal. Elijah froze and he disappeared. He fled. So after he got the message, he got frightened and he feared for his life. And he disappeared, him and his servant. But when he got to a certain place, he told his servant to stay at Beersheba, where he would be safe. And him, he went to a place where he wouldn't be what? Yeah, just like Hagar. Remember Hagar when she went into the wilderness? And then she put the child on the side and then she went on the other side. She actually attempted suicide twice. The first time she was pregnant. It was risky. She was going to the desert to die. But then what? God met her there in her point of death and restored her. Then the second time, now the child can live, but me, nisawa tu nikienda. Then God still restored her. Same thing with Elijah. Perhaps he didn't want the servant to watch him suffer. Just how we usually do sometimes, we act so strong, we don't want our friends to know that we are struggling or we are suffering. So he went out south into hot, barren wilderness and traveled for a day. You see, he was still afraid, he was tired, he was feeling very low, and he was exhausted. But then he came into a broom brush tree, and he sat there and prayed that he might die. Like he was just done. He was like, I'm done, by the way. He was like, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no longer better than my ancestors. Then he lay down and fell asleep. This shows us that even strong, faithful men of God, even you as a faithful servant of God, even you as a faithful follower of God, you have the risk of being troubled mentally or being tempted to not want to live anymore. The Bible, having this story, does not shy away from identifying that we go through these struggles. So it's important for us to acknowledge and address these thoughts with compassion and understanding. As soon as he fell asleep, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around and found some bread, baked bread over hot coals. Like he got a chef from heaven. And this guy was struggling with depression and suicidality. So God doesn't condemn you. I'm not saying that now you glamorize or romanticize the illness. No, what I'm saying is God cares for you even at that dark moment. So he got up, he ate, he drank. I imagine he basked in the sun because definitely he was out. And then he went back to sleep. So this also teaches us the importance of taking care of ourselves, even in ministry. Because we are humans. And I think, is it 1 Thessalonians 5:23? Someone confirm for me. Or 1 Thessalonians 4:23 that says that we are body, soul, and spirit. So you're not just a spiritual creature. You also have a body that needs to be taken care of. And the word soul is translated from, it could mean mind or your psyche. Okay? So you don't just take care of your spirit, take care of your body as well. It's okay to go for prayer nights, but please don't go every week. It's okay to fast and pray, but be careful, especially as your brain is developing. Be careful with your nutrition. You could be there praying, but then you're just sabotaging your life. Because then after fasting and praying and spending the night, there's nothing wrong with that. You're not able to function after that. Or then you're having spirit, you're having a sense of heaviness after that instead of a sense of joy after prayer. So just have your meal and pray. God will answer your prayer. If it's a conviction, he will guide you on how to do it, okay? Don't feel guilty if you're not able to participate in it. So after eating, he lay down. Again, the angel came back the second time, woke him up, and he told him, safari iliyo mbele ni mrefu. Yeah, for the journey ahead is too much for you. And he obeyed. He got up, he ate, and he drank. Then, after he was strengthened by the food, he traveled for 40 days and nights through the wilderness until he reached Mount Horeb. Then after that, he went into a cave, spent the night. This is by the typical of depression. Someone would wake up and they just want to sleep. They just want to sleep. They just want to sleep. Then what happened? God spoke to him in the cave. Now, you realize God didn't talk to him when he was escaping, right? God didn't talk to him through the angel like, Bedhuna dunini apa? No, right? But now he speaks to him now that he realizes that now his cognition can hold a conversation. So then he asks him, what are you doing here? And then what does he say? I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your ways, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Then did God tell him, no, that's not the truth. Abana, you're just having negative thoughts. No, he told him, go out and stand on the mountain in my presence, for I am going to pass by. So he went out of the cave and stood waiting for God to pass by. Suddenly, a great and powerful wind tore through the mountain, shattering the rocks. But God was not in that powerful voice. How sometimes we imagine that our healing can only come in a certain way. So you imagine when you go for therapy, so you have been reading, and then nowadays we have the exposure to technology, so they are all memes, you know. So you go to therapy and you expect particular interventions will work for you. You get there and you realize, yo, God is just telling you, sit here. I'll teach you. After the wind, there was a powerful earthquake, and the whole mountain trembled and shook, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Just how sometimes we show up for these powerful meetings, prayer meetings, evangelistic campaigns. You show up in all week, you know, all these religious meetings, you show up, you listen to all these great preachers, thinking that you're going to hear God's voice there. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire.
Then there was silence and a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. The gentle whispering voice asked, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Just how God can speak to you in your darkness. That time you've woken up and you're not showing up for class. You're not even drawing your curtains. And sometimes, by the way, sometimes it's a message from, I don't know if it's just me. Do you usually get some messages from Safaricom that are motivational, scriptural? Eh? You usually get them? Usually get them? Eh? Hey, there are days, they are timely. Mtafuteni Bwana. I don't know what. And then there's that, do not worry about something. Sometimes that's where you get the prompt. That time when you're hiding in your blanket and you're in there and you're locked with your phone. Then it's just a random M-Pesa message. Or you'd think it's an M-Pesa message and then it's that Safaricom message that comes. Then he replied, "I have been very zealous of the Lord, for the Lord God Almighty, the Israelites have rejected your ways, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me." Then what did God tell him? "Go back the way you came." Did God negotiate with him in any way? So then we don't address the intrusive thoughts because they're not your thoughts. It's the devil making you believe that those are your thoughts because he can't access your mind. He therefore whispers. So you think you're just tired, you need to sleep or you need to eat, but then it shows up as, "I'm tired of life. I'm going to cut off everyone." You delete everything. Okay, I've deleted everything before. You cut off everyone, you know, but you just needed to sleep. Or you just needed a hug. Or you just needed to go back to your mother, drink her uji, or go back to your parents' house. I'm sorry if your mother is not there. You can go back to your parents' house and just be there in that coach. Yourself has said to you, and you kite to apple, you restart, and then you come back to reality. Sometimes that's all you need, not to quit life completely. So you realize, God did not shame Elijah for his thoughts. No. He would have told him, "Wait, Bana, I fed you. I performed this miracle through you. Why are you chickening from a woman who doesn't even know God? You've killed all her prophets. What's wrong with you?" He didn't. So then, we do not lecture people who need hugs. We don't try to reason with those thoughts when they're speaking. If you don't know what to say, please don't ask AI. Please don't ask AI. This is what, you know, your copy-pasting, so my friend has told me, how do I respond to them? Don't. Because what you're doing is, this person will just be connecting to the AI, not you. Then you'll never know how to be human. So what you do if you want to help someone, get out of your head. Get out of your head. And come into your heart or to your body. Just feel the discomfort. And then when you feel the discomfort, you're actually sitting with them. And then just as the Holy Spirit, you're like, "Wait, by the way, this is heavy." And you can just tell them, "By the way, this is heavy." That is validating enough. Probably that's all they need to hear. And sometimes you can tell them, "Wow, I wonder how you've been doing life with all this." You don't have to be perfect. Please don't AI your vibes with people. Don't. It will rob you of the beauty and the privilege of connecting with people in their pain. There's a blessing that comes with that. Why? Because when you have the Holy Spirit in you, Jesus said, then I and the Father will come and live in your heart. So then you have God living in your heart. So let God reveal himself to this person who's wounded. Okay? So God showing up for Elijah reminds us that God's presence is with us even in our darkest moments. He may not always reveal himself in dramatic ways, but he will come. Sometimes you need to just get up and make your bed. The motivation won't come. The good feeling won't come. It's hard work. It's like mjengo work. You get up, go to the washroom, come back, make your bed. And then just sit and clap for yourself, one. Then two, go clean those dishes. Because what it does, it will activate your hippocampus. Remember, every time you use your hands, there's a nerve behind your frontal lobe that gets activated. And what does it do? It now creates solutions to the challenges that you're facing at that time. So after you've made your bed, your brain is like, ah, it's not the end of the world. We have actually made the bed. Okay, what do we do next? What do we do next? Your body, you realize that you've not showered for a day or two. Okay, you go shower. After showering, your body is happy. You realize even after the shower, you start singing. Then after that, you're like, wow, okay. Nai room ni dark. You draw the curtains. Then you realize, baby, I'm hungry. The dishes are not clean. You'll clean the dishes and then you'll eat. Motivation follows you. The emotions will follow you. Just act fast, okay? When you're not, when you're starving yourself, the message you're sending to your mind is, we're on survival mode. And when you're surviving, the brain wants to hide, to run, or to fight. And that's a lot of adrenaline and cortisol being produced in your system. That's why you get drained and tired. Why? Because adrenaline is meant to help you take an action. Or cortisol. And when an action, you're not taking any action, it just sits with you there. Then now you start having aches. Now life is horrible. Now you're sleeping, the bed is painful, you know. Then God continued telling him that when you get to the desert of Damascus, anoint Hazael, king of Aram, and anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king of Israel. Anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, to succeed you as prophet. God explained, now listen, now God replaces his intrusive thoughts with truth. God explained that Elijah was not the only one left. There were like 7,000 people in Israel who had not bowed to Baal. When he was encouraged by the gentle answer from God, he set off on the return journey. So read God's word. That's where you'll hear his voice. Yeah, because the devil can whisper to you and you'll think it's God. But yeah, there's no need for you to live anymore. No, there's a need for you to live. There's a need for you to live. Jesus died so that you do not have to die eternally. There's only one death that saves, and it already happened. So you ending your life will not save you or anyone. It won't make people love you. They can't love you. You're dead. You're dead. You won't even feel the love, right? So stay a little longer. Don't worry about death. It comes. I'm sorry, but it does. It comes. So before that, don't let it rob you of the joy before the time comes, okay? So one thing that we see engaged this guy or empowered him is God reminded him of his strength and his purpose. By doing what? Give him the assignment. Our purpose. There's a quotation by Viktor Frankl in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, that says that he who has a why to life can face absolutely anything. So that means if you know why you exist, no matter what you face, that purpose is what will keep you staying and remaining faithful because you know whose you are. So Elijah went, met with Elisha, and then he put his cloak over him. So the cloak was like represented Elijah's calling or anointing, and by him giving it to Elisha was like a sign of discipling him, right? So find someone to walk with, someone younger to mentor, and find older people to mentor you as well. Have people who like you. By the way, be in places where you don't have to pretend. If you keep on showing up in friendships where you have to be somebody else, you're just making yourself sick and you're being unfair to people who are meant to enjoy hanging out with you. Ah, you imeingia nimeona. Now there's hope beyond our current struggles. Amen? God's plan for us includes redemption and eternal life. And part of it, part of the sanctification journey are the challenges. Sometimes you're just being broken before you're made. Sometimes self must die. And somehow some of this, but there are some personalities that can, that give you the risk of having depression. But then if you struggle with perfectionism, you may need to crucify that with Jesus at the cross. Otherwise, it will get you to a very painful place that you don't want to go to. Yeah, yield control to God. Amen? Let's see what Elijah did. Joshua, I have seen your signal. Thank you. Let's see what Elijah did that helped him overcome. One, he named his pain. Okay, let's read together. One, he? So you have to acknowledge where you are and name your pain. Number two, talk to God as well. Okay? Don't stay there just moving from WhatsApp to IG to TikTok to X, you know, to YouTube. Before you realize it, it's 2 hours and you've canceled a meeting or a class. Yet you would have just talked to God and God would have sorted you. And then he needed care. He truly was fatigued after that great ministry. Take time to care for yourself. Let other people care for you as well. Prepare how you're going to take care of yourself after a great mission or after a great ministry or event, okay? Sometimes you just need to eat, sleep, and hydrate. Caffeine is your enemy. It is your enemy. I know it sorts you and gives you energy, but it's your enemy. And then, yeah, as you nourish yourself, you repeat. Then he also had intrusive thoughts, so it's normal, but God still listened to him. He obeyed God's voice. When God shows you what to do, obey him. Then he pursued his purpose and he kept a friend. Amen? Do you have someone whom you can show to them undone? Someone whom one night, bahati mbaya tu, umegonga mtu place mbaya na ukamzika mahali and you can just call this person, by the way. Do you have someone you can open up to that way? Yeah, you should find one. And the other thing you need to remember is life is unfair, but be fair anyway. Just because things didn't go well for you, just because somebody harmed you, does not mean that now you have to harm other people, okay? Okay. Scriptures to leave with you, maybe you can, they're just repeated. We shared them during the week. So there's Isaiah 43 verse 1. You can write that down. Isaiah 43 verse 1. And then there's Isaiah 43 verse 21. Reminds you why you exist. And then this is for you if you're feeling like life has just been unjust to you. Remember that the Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence, he hates. So that means God hates whatever wrong that was done to you. Scriptures to keep, write down that as well. So I'm going to sing after this. So Emmanuel, you can come. Thank you. I'm going to sing after this. And the song is just an encouragement to just remind you. You guys probably know it. Yeah, it's based on the theme. But God cares about you. He does. And you don't have to hide whatever it is you're struggling with. You don't have to pretend. He meets you where you are and he'll take care of you where you are. You notice he met Elijah twice where he was complaining.